The US government has acquired 10% of Intel. Yet, the details of this transaction are strange. No money was exchanged, investors were furious, and the US now has leverage over America's biggest foundry. But the deeper you dig, the stranger all of this gets. Why did the US take 10% of Intel and not other tech giants? Why would the government even take 10% of a company? What's even stranger is the way Trump did it was by using something passed under Biden. First, we need some context. In November 2024, all tech CEOs began to see the new reality.
In particular, in the very near future, we're going to be placing tariffs on foreign production of computer chips, semiconductors, and pharmaceuticals to return production of these essential goods to the United States of America.
The new government was adamant about protecting and growing US industries, and basically every tech giant had an ultimatum: invest in the US or pay the price. But nowhere was this more apparent than on September 4th, 2025. On this day, Trump hosted a roundtable dinner with most of the top tech CEOs: Tim Cook, Mark Zuckerberg, Sam Altman, Sundar Pichai, Satya Nadella, Lisa Su, Bill Gates, and many more. And to be honest, this one meeting is insane. Zuckerberg sat next to Trump despite previously banning him from the platform and Trump threatening to send him to jail. Yet here they are, and it reveals a crucial truth. Long-term survival in AI, chips, and cloud means aligning with US national strategy, and Trump is using both the carrot and the stick. Staying outside the US means facing tariffs, but investing includes tariff exemptions and perks like AI energy permits. And the CEOs didn't waste any time to make it clear where they stand. Satya Nadella said, "You and your policies are really helping a lot." Sam Altman thanked Trump for being such a pro-business and pro-innovation president. Most of this is probably just flattery to the current president, but money is moving where Trump wants it, or at least appears to be.
How much is Google investing?
We are well north of $100 billion. In the next 2 years, it's $250 billion.
Apple has planned a $500 billion US investment, which could create 20,000 jobs. Tim Cook also announced recently that they would raise this by another $100 billion. Microsoft has pledged over $75 billion this year alone, and Nvidia has pledged over $500 billion over the next 4 years. For now, all of these promises are just that. Promises. We'll see how much of this actually happens. But here's another bigger question. Where's Intel? Despite the big 10% equity stake, Lip-Bu Tan, the current CEO, wasn't even at the table. And that raises another question. Why take 10% in Intel and not other tech giants leading in AI like Meta, OpenAI, and most of all, Nvidia? They're the leader in AI GPUs and consistently the most valuable company on Earth, but also an American company. What's so special about Intel? Or is it something else? As it turns out, this 10% investment isn't quite what it seems. The crucial part to this story actually dates back to August 2022, the Chips and Science Act, which was passed under the Biden administration. Billions in funding to boost the research and manufacturing of semiconductors, including $52 billion, most notably, for foundries. Foundries are gigantic plans for chip production, which the US has notably fallen behind on. Despite having many tech giants like Nvidia, AMD, Apple, OpenAI, Meta, and all kinds of companies that rely on or design chips, the US was getting annihilated in the manufacturing side. And that brings us back to Intel. Intel designs their own chips, but they also manufacture their own chips. They used to be the leader in tech. Intel was a titan of the Silicon Valley Revolution and has a long list of pivotal inventions like the x86 architecture. This explains why there's no 10% stake in Meta, OpenAI, or even the big one, Nvidia. Nvidia is a chip designer, but not a chip manufacturer. The best bet for US semiconductors was Intel. Intel aligned with the government's bet on US foundries, but there's more. When asked if the US would invest in Nvidia, US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent replied, "I don't think Nvidia needs financial support." Intel, on the other hand, needed help. They had fallen behind, and the market leader for chip manufacturing was now TSMC in Taiwan. In 2021, TSMC had over 50% of the foundry market share, and many giants like Nvidia and Apple went almost exclusively through them. Intel set out to change this. They wanted to rise to the top again. In 2021, they unveiled IDM 2.0, a huge strategy to invest $100 billion into foundries, with one notable difference. Instead of just making their own chips, they were going to produce chips for other companies as well, just like TSMC. At least, that was the plan. Even with the help of the CHIPS Act, their plan failed, and even after tens of billions invested in foundries, Intel was losing lots of money, possibly the most they had ever lost. But it gets worse. TSMC's market share had grown to over 70%, and in 2025, their market cap passed $1 trillion. I mean, just look at that revenue graph. To be clear, TSMC isn't the bad guy here. Their manufacturing is more advanced, more reliable, less faulty, and they have stronger customer service. They were beating Intel on every front. TSMC is a concern for the US, but what is a problem is China. China has set up its third planned state-backed investment fund to boost its semiconductor industry with a registered capital of 344 billion yuan or $47.5 billion. The hundreds of billions of yuan invested in the sector puts into perspective President Xi Jinping's drive to achieve self-sufficiency for China in semiconductors. China has been pouring tens of billions into its own chip makers, with one key difference. These aren't subsidies, but state investments. YMTC, a Chinese semiconductor manufacturer, had a $12.9 billion yuan state-owned investment in 2023. The National Silicon Industry Group, another Chinese semiconductor company, is publicly traded, though 20.64% is owned by the China Integrated Circuit Industry Investment Fund. The US isn't winning the semiconductor manufacturing race, and this raised an uncomfortable question. If China can bankroll its champions, why shouldn't America? Intel, their biggest foundry company, was the obvious solution, and it was in desperate need of help, which brings us to the 10% stake. But it wasn't nearly as simple as an investment. After Intel appointed its CEO, Lip-Bu Tan, Trump called for his resignation on ties to China and him being highly conflicted. He had been the head of another company, Cadence Design Systems, who had been charged with violating US export controls to China and had sold tech to a military school in China. Tan went to Washington to meet with Trump to discuss ways the government and Intel could work together toward achieving the administration's goals. Then, on the 22nd of August, Intel announced the US government would make an $8.9 billion investment in Intel common stock. The US government acquired a 9.9% stake in Intel, or rather, inherited a stake. The government apparently purchased Intel shares at a $4 discount to Intel's closing stock price of $24.80. But the investment is a bit strange. Technically, no money changed hands, at least no regular share transaction was made. Why? The CHIPS Act.
The president is correct in the sense that there is no new money going into this deal. This is previously committed CHIPS Act money and previously committed funds from a program called Secure Enclave, which was a Biden-Harris administration.
If we scroll down the Intel announcement, we learn what's really going on. The government's equity stake will be funded by the remaining $5.7 billion in grants previously awarded but not yet paid to Intel under the US CHIPS and Science Act and $3.2 billion awarded to the company as part of the Secure Enclave program. Essentially, Intel was already going to receive a lump sum, but the US government decided it would convert the grant into equity. And all of this has left investors confused and concerned. Intel didn't have 10% to just give away, nor did the US acquire public shares. Instead, they diluted existing shareholders, which reduces voting rights and ownership for everyone else. Investors weren't thrilled. It sets a bad precedent if the president can just take 10% of a company by threatening the CEO. Plus, with the US stake, it might harm international sales. 76% of Intel's revenue is from outside the US, with 29% from China alone. With the US suddenly becoming a major shareholder, Intel is viewed in a very different way. Foreign buyers and regulators may have second thoughts about supporting Intel, which in turn supports Trump's plan. Plus, it subjects Intel to extra legal scrutiny with anti-subsidy laws, where companies are supported by foreign governments. Intel was upfront about all of this, but it didn't put investors at ease. And there's another strange factor looming here. Intel is doing very poorly, but they didn't necessarily need the money, at least not from the government. Tan even said this himself. Mere days before the US purchase, SoftBank invested $2 billion into Intel. So why take it? Some believe Tan did this to keep his job and keep Trump off his back. But this has put Intel in more trouble, and I think this excerpt from the Wall Street Journal puts the situation well. Sometimes a company or industry risks failing without public support, and that failure would hurt the whole country, not just its shareholders and employees. Intel meets both conditions. It isn't failing, but it is losing money. Its core business is in decline, and it lacks the capital and customers needed to make the most advanced semiconductors. It's in the US's best interest if their biggest foundry owner or chip producer stays afloat. Plus, it's not all bad for Intel. Under the CHIPS Act, Intel had big milestones they had to meet, like the building of foundries and manufacturing deadlines. And if they didn't hit these milestones, the act had a clawback provision, so the government could have reclaimed some of the funding or even profits. Intel also had to share a percentage of cash flow with the Commerce Department, but that's out of the window now. Intel no longer needs to meet certain milestones to receive funding. But it does make sense. And even with the promise from Tim Cook or Sundar Pichai, it's hard to know how true their multi-$100 billion promises are. In 2017, Apple's manufacturer Foxconn promised a $10 billion LCD factory in Wisconsin, which would bring 13,000 jobs. Yet, bit by bit, the scope shrank to just $672 million and 1,400 jobs. Talk is talk, so I can see why the US government would want something tangible they can control instead of just the promises of tech CEOs. With how much money China has been pouring into semiconductors and how dominant TSMC is in Taiwan, Trump has pressure to catch up. The 10% stake in Intel might sound strange, but it's not actually that unusual. Around the world, governments have long treated key industries, especially semiconductors, as strategic assets. And the most valuable asset for us is subscribers. We're trying to cross 1 million by the end of this year, and we're over 80% there. If you hit subscribe right now, we might just be able to pull it off. The German state of Lower Saxony owns 20% of Volkswagen. The Taiwanese government owns 6.4% of TSMC. While not directly state-owned, 8.6% of Samsung is owned by the National Pension Service. The French and German governments each own about 10% of Airbus, with the Spanish government owning about 4%. And all of these are capitalist countries. This has been happening for a long time. Except now, instead of cars, banks, agriculture, or even oil, the world has realized that the industry to have is semiconductors. But there's still one big question looming over all of this. How did Intel even get in such a terrible position? They were the godfather of chips, they had the biggest US foundry business, the CHIPS Act, and they were making billions from being in virtually every Windows machine. But now, they're $10 billion in the red. What happened, and why are they suing their past CEO? Check out this video to learn the rest of the story. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.